If you are ready to learn wholesaling real estate as a complete beginner, right? You do not know wholesaling at all. You want to get your first wholesaling deal. This is going to be the exact wholesaling course, mini course. I'm just going to give, if I had a free course today, I'm just going to give it out in this video. This is going to be a course of how to get your first wholesaling real estate deal. And you just want to get started in this business. You want to get cash, right? You want to make thousands and thousands of dollars every single month, guys. You want to make 100K your first year. This is going to be the course all condensed into this video of 2023 of how to get into wholesaling real estate and get rich. Guys, I'm excited for this. I want to break this all down and teach you exactly as a beginner how to get rich in the wholesaling real estate industry. My name is Zach Ginn.
I'm Rick Ginn.
And together we run a wholesaling operation that makes millions of dollars every single year. I've done over 2,000 deals. He's done over 3,000 combined, over 5,000 wholesaling real estate deals. So I think we know how to help you out in wholesaling. I think we know how to get you started and get you rich. And that is the point today. And that's what we're going to break down. So before we get into it, guys, remember, you guys got to go out here and hit that like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel here, and comment below your questions. And we're here to help you become the best wholesaler possible. And we can condense an entire course into today. So before we do these live streams, I hope you guys know we have an intro to get you guys excited about wholesaling real estate. So make sure you guys hit that like button, subscribe, and let's cue the intro.
Do it. Woo!
Get the fuck out of bed, bitch. Go. Wake up, bitch, get up. Get up, get up.
Snap. We're ready, guys. We're here to cue the intro, get you excited. And let's get into it. Like, let's cut the fluff. Let's get straight into it. How to wholesale houses, how to get into this business, and really how to do it the right way. So this is wholesaling real estate. You know, this is, as a beginner's guide, the best we can possibly have it for you. And let's get into it. So first and foremost, guys, what is wholesaling real estate? What is wholesaling houses? What is this business and how do we get started in it, right? Wholesaling real estate, again, and we're going to brush this over very easily because it's very simple, but it's the process of writing up a contract to buy real estate and then selling that contract to a rich landlord or a house flipper. Basically, this is our cash buyer and they are buying our contract for a profit. Is there any other way you can explain this?
No, it's not complicated. It's exactly what's up on your screen. You've got to understand when you should recognize when you're not doing wholesaling, because a lot of you that are just getting starting out, you're being introduced things and people are telling you like it's the new 2.0 of wholesaling. Now, guys, wholesaling has been around hundreds of years, although some of the dynamics have changed, but the true essence of it is basically controlling a property and selling your interest in the contract. That is it. Anything outside of that falls outside of wholesaling. So there's an umbrella of all real estate investing. To me, wholesaling is the foundation to really master on how to be the best real estate investor, period.
Exactly. So basically what the process is I find somebody who wants to sell their ugly house. I write up a contract to buy it, and then I sell that contract for a profit. That's basically how it is. I know it's very basic the way you're explaining it, but let's kind of break down kind of how it looks like the whole process, right? So why should you listen to us? This is just a small snapshot, like really tiny, but like, guys, all these checks are people that just we've taught, right? So I have a free wholesaling course. We combine on this channel. We have a free wholesaling course. It's called freewholesaling.com. I know most people know what that is, but if you're brand new, you don't know what we're talking about. It's called freewholesaling.com on the bottom here. And basically, it has over 100,000 active monthly users in it. And these people will go in there, learn wholesaling. And we have thousands of videos on this channel. So I think everyone knows that, right? So what you have to understand is we condense those into basically a course format where you can start wholesaling real estate. Guys, there's not one person in the wholesaling real estate YouTube space, the person in the education space that has more testimonials, more checks saying, thanks, Zach, Rick, whatever, thanking the person who taught them than us. There's nobody has given people the power to get their first wholesaling deal than us. We've taught the most people how to get their first wholesaling deal. And that's kind of what we're talking about today for 2023, this year. We get results. And so why do you want to listen to us? Not because we've done thousands of deals ourselves, because I've taught more people how to do deals than I've done deals, like easily. And so freewholesaling.com, that is our free wholesaling course. But what we're going to do is give you a condensed version of that all today.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should definitely still go to freewholesaling.com. But like, why should you listen to us? Like the checks can go on and on forever. I tell you, we have podcasts.
The crazy part is because we teach it for free. We don't go out and do like a lot of coaches do and like, give me your testimonial. I got to capture you now so I can turn it into a marketing piece. Honestly, those are all donated. They're all 100% organic. And I know it's really hard to trust anybody's reviews, especially online these days. Every one of those reviews submitted are 100% organic. We did not ask anyone to do it. And their names are on there. We don't like Paul P. We don't do stuff like that. Guys, listen, you are the final deciding factor if you're going to be successful in wholesaling. The reality is we give you the information. I've taken the barrier away. The question is, are you actually going to take action with it?
Exactly. So let's kind of break down the entire wholesaling process. So this is the entire wholesaling process. If to get your first deal in 30 days, this is exactly how you do it. This is the entire process. It's kind of written down this graphic. It's pretty simple how it's done, but this is it. So let's talk about this, right? From day one to 30, how do we get our first wholesaling deal? What are we teaching you today, right? Basically day one to seven, we are doing what we call marketing. And what basically marketing is we find a distressed house, a house that is ugly. And that's kind of, we just look for ugly houses and we ask these people if they want to sell the property, right? That's marketing 101, right? I mean, we just find ugly houses and see if someone's looking to sell it, right? Day 7 through 14, right? We are going to lock up the deal. And basically, what's locking up the deal? We're basically writing up an agreement to buy the house. We take pictures of the property. We do all these things. Day 14 through 18, we're basically going to find that end buyer, that rich landlord or house flipper. We can call the foreign rents. We can call cash sales. I know it seems really confusing what we're saying. There's a lot of lingo. But in freewholesaling.com, we have exactly how to the definitions. We even have a dictionary for you in there. But we basically find someone who wants to get us that finder's fee, right? And then day 18 through 24, that buyer will walk through the house, see if it's good enough. And then they'll basically sign an agreement to sell the paper. And then closing day, we get our nice check. So for example, you see all these people with their checks. That's after closing day. You know, who we got here? We got 40 grand, we got 30 grand, we got 5 grand, 4 grand, 49 grand. Every check's a little different, right? But like I'm telling you, it works. It's insane how the process works. And so I'm just letting you guys know, if whatever terms we say, I know there's a lot of lingo in real estate. We do have a dictionary. It's basically our real estate wholesaling dictionary. It is in freewholesaling.com. So what's the difference between wholesaling real estate and real estate investing? So before I get in the nitty gritty of like step by step, we got to figure out the difference, right? The main difference is wholesaling real estate is not investing. So let's kind of talk about the difference here, right? Investing in real estate is me putting money into a property and hopefully get a return. That makes me an investor. That's not what wholesaling real estate is. Wholesaling real estate is I'm not calling it a side hustle. It's a business that produces income without spending any money. You don't need any money to get into wholesaling, right?
Yeah, it's the art of really minimizing your risk and maximizing your return. So everybody knows, here's the problem. Is everyone's like, oh, real estate, the people I know that got the wealthiest or have the most freedom of their time, they're all associated with real estate. That is correct. But most of you think like, wow, I'll be a real estate agent. I'll be an investor. Well, I don't have any money. You can't really be an investor. So wholesaling focuses on creating value today. So it's like, listen, it's the same equivalent of going to a garage sale and finding like an old beat up Pokemon card set the lady sells you for a buck. and you selling the internet for $100. The only difference is the Pokemon card set is an ugly house, and the ugly house might be worth $100,000, and you might be able to sell it for $200,000. It is the best asset because it is the biggest one that most people don't know how to sell. And when they're not perfect and pretty for a real estate agent, that's where wholesaling is one of the greatest fits. And a lot of people go, well, you know, you force people to sell your house. You don't force anyone to sell their house. They put themselves in that position. We just help them and we navigate them through it. And by learning through freewholesaling.com, we teach you, instead of going to garage sale, and by the way, that is a great skill set to learn. Why don't you go find the biggest thing you can sell and make the most amount of profit? And here's the difference. In the garage sale, you actually have to buy the thing. And in wholesaling, you technically don't even ownership of it.
Drop shipping, door dashing, any of that. It's just wholesaling real estate making the most money. So it's not investing. It's actually like a legit side hustle we do. So we're basically selling the contract. We're not owning the house. I write up a piece of paper. I sell the piece of paper. I have no, there's very, very little risk on this if you do it the right way, right? This is an income producing strategy like any other business. But here's the problem, okay? Wholesaling real estate, it doesn't need any money or experience. It doesn't need any cash. Here's the issue. Wholesaling real estate is 100% legal. Now, that might seem good to you, but here's the problem with it. It's a legal business. And that means if you have a legal business, if you want to get rich in it, it's going to require work. Every single legal business I know, you just can't sit selling your butt all day and then get rich by doing it, right? It's not the lottery. There's illegal things, I guess, you can do. But because this is 100% legal and this is all protected within the law, if you want to get rich in a legal business, you're going to have to work hard. That is the one thing I want everyone to know. And so if you're asking yourself, hey, I just want to put a couple hours in, make a quick 100K and just get out, just get off the stream. Like just get, I hate to tell you, just get off.
It ain't going to work.
You're going to have to put some hours in working. Now, I would say for the person who's watching this, at minimum, if you can dedicate at least 5 hours a week to this, you can start going on the path and making a lot of money on this. Now, I prefer 10, 15 hours. You don't need to put 100 hours a week into this. But like, if you could put at least 10 hours, I know you can make 100K this year if you just listen to what we say. But I'm just letting you guys know, you have to put in work. If you do not put in work, you won't get results here. And just so, because it's a legal business, I know people are upset about that, but it's true. And so let's kind of revamp the process one more time before again do how, basically this is the process again, but what we're going to do is break down every little nitty gritty part in the process. So let's, from the top, we find people that want to sell. We basically want to find ugly houses and people usually want to sell it, right? And we lock up a contract. We usually want to get it for the lowest price we can. And then we find a person to buy it and we get a profit from it, right? That's the process, right? They walk to the house and then the title company will give us a check. We'll get it wired to us, whatever it is. That is the wholesaling process, okay? Wholesaling real estate, it's really simple. So many people complicate this, that they make it so crazy. And a lot of people watching this might have been wholesaling for a year or two and they still haven't gotten a deal. The reason why you haven't gotten that deal yet is because you're overcomplicating this. You're making this way too crazy, right? So wholesaling real estate, it's just three parts. That's it. Part one, finding people who want to sell the house for cash. That is marketing, right?
Yep.
So it's simple. Number two, negotiating and writing up a contract for a certain price.
Got it.
That's it. Acquisitions, right? And then the last one is selling the contract to a rich landlord or house flipper for a finder's fee. This is disposition. So you can screenshot this if you want. Make it easy. This is all replayed on YouTube. But what I can tell you is straight up, this is it. So think about this for a second. Finding people who want to sell their house, negotiating, writing up a contract, and then selling the contract. That's what wholesaling real estate is. I know people pay 15 grand for a guru seminar or this crazy mentorship course, and they try to make wholesaling this complicated thing. This is what it is. As somebody that makes millions of dollars doing this, it's that simple. It's really easy. But when you overcomplicate it, you overthink it, you don't do well. And so if you can just do very simple tasks, and we're going to give you an action plan at the end of this, you'll do well. It's insane in my thoughts of making this even more complicated. So let's kind of get in this, like marketing, right? Like
yep.
Marketing is going to be the most important part. The hardest part in the wholesaling industry, the hardest part for this is actually finding people that want to sell their house for a discount. Let me say this again. everybody can sell a house, but there's a very few amount. So let's say there's 100. Okay. Let's say there's 100 people that sell a house in your city this week. All right. Right. I will tell you probably 98% of them don't want to sell it for a discount. So think about like garage sale flipping, right? If I'm going to flip something on a garage sale, I'm going to want to buy it for a discount and then sell it for full price, basically, right?
Correct.
That's it. So if you have a cool Miami Dolphins mug that's vintage, and I know it'll sell for about 10 bucks on eBay, I'm going to try to buy it from you for $5 and then sell it for 10. Simple, right? Same thing in wholesaling real estate. If I know a house probably worth around $140,000, I'm going to go try to buy it for 110. Not buy it, but like write a contract for 110 and then sell it for 140 and make $30,000 profit. Here's the problem. 98% of people you try this with are going to want to sell it for 140. Only 2 or 3 out of 100, so 2 to 3%, would even consider selling it for $110,000 or $120,000. Where are these type of people? How do I find them? Because guess what? If there's 1,000 properties, then that's like 30 of those people. And if I do 30 a month, oh my gosh, I do amazing, right? Well, the trick here, and this is from our experience, is people that have ugly, disgusting, nasty houses that just want to get rid of it will want to sell their house for a discount. Usually nobody else. So let me explain this. When you sell your car, you trade in your car, you know you're trading in for below what the thing's worth. And so like not a crazy amount, but you, so my car's worth 12 grand. The trade-in's 8 grand, but I don't want to put the VIN number on Auto Trader and meet a guy behind a Starbucks at 4 p.m. and have him test drive it. And then he like, it's all weird, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's all that weird thing. I can just sell it outright. I don't have to wait 30 days to sell it or 90 days to sell it. And just, it's simple and easy, right? Those people are selling their car for a discount below what it's worth for the speed and convenience of the cash sale. That's why when you go to a pawn shop, you know, Pawn Stars, right? It's always it's a meme, right? That the Rick there on Pawn Stars wants to buy it for like, you know, like 30%, right? Oh, you have $1,000 bill. I'll give you 50 bucks for it. Right. Cause he's trying to buy it for a discount so he can go flip it in the pawn shop. Right. Yeah. It's how business works. And people that usually just want to get rid of something quick for cash, they will know they're selling it for a discount, but it's simple, easy. They got the cash right there. They get rid of it. Same thing in wholesaling real estate. We got to find ugly houses and people in situations where they just want to get rid of it for cash. Same thing like a pawn shop or a used car dealership. That is what we're doing. So I'm just letting you know, only 2% of all houses want to sell for a discount. So don't feel like every person is going to, you have to find the ugly houses. And there's lists and ways. All these strategies we're going to teach you right now how to do. So I'm just letting you know, we're building the foundations on this, on what this means. Okay. Do you have anything to add on that?
I think the problem with most new wholesalers is they try to chase everybody and they don't recognize you're only looking for a very small percentage of the market. And then the age old question is like, well, how do I penetrate that small 2 to 3%? You just got to learn to become laser focused with it. But I will tell you this, you cannot find people on MLS and even Zillow for that fact, sometimes you got to go through a massive amount of quantity because those people are admitting, I want full price. They make it super easy. Get the phone number. Honestly, most wholesalers waste their time in that area. And if you want to do that route, you have to have an incredible quantity amount, thousands just to find a few. So I want you to understand that off-market properties, honestly, is the best single hint I can give you to find a wholesaling deal.
So let's I got to decipher your lingo sometimes, right? What's on-market, off-market? What's that crazy term? Basically, houses that are listed with a realtor are not good wholesaling deals because the realtor wants to sell it for the most. We're going to try to buy houses from people that aren't listing it with a realtor. Okay, so that's kind of what he meant there. So let's kind of talk about marketing, finding these deals that want to sell for a discount, right? Marketing, again. From the top, this is how we find sellers who want to sell their house for a discount due to a motivating circumstance, right? Maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe the house has like tall grass and they're just not updating it right. Maybe the house is vacant. This is crazy, but like almost 5 to 10% of all houses, maybe it's lower than that, are vacant. Like nobody lives in it. It just sits there. Crazy, right? They might want to get rid of it. Like situations, or they get arrested and they're going to jail and they just got to get rid of the house, right? There's a lot of these situations out here. And it's not like there's only 4 in your city. Like if you live in like Dallas or Houston, like there's thousands of these deals being done every single month. Like you just got to get one or two of these to make 20 or 30 grand a month. And there's, you saw the checks, like it's insane. Okay. There's a lot of deals being done. So we try to find these people that have these situations, and they're actually pretty easy to do. And you can either call them, you can text these people, you can email, you can send mail out. There's a lot of ways, and just say, hey, my name's Zach. I'm looking to buy a couple houses for cash. Are you looking to sell your house? And then you kind of get into it, right? Just don't complicate it, right? That is marketing. And so when we find these people, we get into the acquisitions, which is basically writing up these contracts. This is when people get nervous. I don't know why, but like we basically write up contracts to buy it, right? It's a I know contracts seem scary. We have a free download. You can use our free contract. So like you don't have to make your own or do anything like this or anything crazy. That's it. Like this is how it's called acquisitions because this is how we acquire contracts. We basically have a contract. You buy the house. And obviously in the purpose of selling it for a contract, right? Remember, you're not a salesperson. You're just an average person trying to buy the house. If you act like you're a salesperson, you're not going to do well. You have to act like you're a qualifier. All right. It's very important that we kind of interview the people. We don't act like we're a salesperson, right? And really, I think the biggest question here is like, what do I say? Like, how do I talk to the person to get them to write a contract and all these? We have you covered. You're like, we basically give you the scripts. So you're like, you're an actor. We give you the movie script and you just kind of say the lines. It's really easy, right? And the cool part is it's not complicated. You got to make it simple. And then we basically have dispositions right here, right? So dispositions, this is the process of selling your contract for a profit. That is it. We are selling the contract for a profit. Easy peasy lemon squeezy, right? This is the easiest one. There are so many people that want to buy houses for discounts, including me. I make a lot of money wholesaling, so I like to put my money into rentals, and wholesalers give good opportunities if I just don't have enough rentals to buy, right? And so really these cash buyers, these people that are going to buy the house for cash, they are going to either be one or two things, and that is it. Like 98% of your cash buyers are going to do this. They are going to buy the house, renovate it, and then rent it out. Basically a rich landlord who's got cash on hand, or they're going to buy it, renovate it, and then put it on the market like a flipper, like one of those TV show house flippers, right? And they make money doing it, right? I flip houses too. I do a lot. And so it's pretty easy. You just got to find these people. And so the question is like, how do I find these people, right? It's pretty simple. Okay. So where do all the landlords hang out? They like renting their houses. So you just call the four rents. Hey, my name's Zach. I'm actually not looking to buy your house or rent it out. I was seeing if you're looking to buy any more houses. I'm actually a wholesaler. And then you can explain the process with them there. There's actually a list of people that buy houses for cash. You just call them up. It's actually pretty simple, but cash buyers, it's just, I think a lot of people complicate it, right? It's the easiest one out of the three. And I promise you, if you know how to talk to them, which we have the scripts, it'll be good. And so if you're confused again, we want to let everyone know the term cash buyer, the term ARV or marketing or any of these crazy words I say, what's cold calling? What's texting? We have a dictionary. And so if there's any terms that seem confusing to you, I know there's a lot of lingo here. I get it. You just got to go to freewholesaling.com. The whole dictionary is in there for you. I promise you it's a little confusing starting out, but it's really simple. Okay. It's easy. And so here's the question. And this is the question everyone asks, right? I want to get rich and I want to get rich quick and I want to make a lot of money now, right? That's everyone, right?
Why not?
How do you get your first wholesaling deal? That is the first thing. You can easily get your first wholesaling deal in under 30 days, but you're going to have to do it the right thing. So I get that most common question I get, how do I get my first deal? So let's talk about this, right? Number one, I would say if you want to get your first deal in wherever you live right now, right? I would say the best chance of you getting your first deal is going to do this. I know it's confusing. I'm going to explain this. It's called driving for dollars. And all you're going to do is just go in your car and put sticky notes on houses. So what is it? You explain this. How do I drive for dollars and put sticky notes? What is this term, right?
Yeah, it's real simple. The idea around it is you get much better engagement. So you guys can understand, I've been doing this 21 years. When I started doing it, we just door knocked. We didn't know any better. But we didn't have the advent of technology today. Ring cameras, honestly, pretty much destroyed door knocking because nobody wants to answer the door and everybody freaks out. So the idea was to get a list, a very targeted list, like a code violation or like a tax delinquency list, two of my favorites. And then basically you set a driving pattern and say you got 80 leads and you go out and put 80 notes on these doors. The old school way is you knock on every door, you try to have 80 conversations and maybe five or six of them want to work with you. This one actually saves you time. You put a personal note on the door, like you would, just like you'd put a note on a door's friend. Hey, got a quick question about the house, Rick, phone number. And maybe out of the 87 people call you back. Well, you just save 73 like disastrous, like confrontations of people that don't want to do business with you. And you saved a ton of time. Every conversation, guys, when you go door to door, it's like 15, 20 minutes, even when they don't want to do business with you. So now you've identified seven people and now you can spend your time with the seven people that have interest. Doesn't mean you're getting seven contracts. Maybe you get two or three out of them. You can set an appointment from there. It's extremely efficient because you get a high callback rate. I know you're thinking like, you know, 10, 20% people calling you back. That seems kind of low. It's actually very high. Direct mail is around 1, maybe 1.25%, just to give you an idea of numbers. So if you're short on money and you got time, this is an extremely effective way to do it. And for those of you collecting driving for dollars list, honestly, they're probably the best way to do it. And you're like, but Rick, what if somebody confronts me? I put the note on the door. It's real simple. If it's negative, hey, listen, my boss just told me to put these out. If they want more information from the house, go listen, I can probably help you out. My boss will kill me if I talk to you, but what's going on with your house? And it's just that simple. It is, to me, a clever technique. I didn't come up with it, but it works really well. Now, I've done it for driving dollars my entire career. I just called it, put a note on the door, you know? So he gave, you know, now we do the sticky note and it works well.
And so basically, I mean, it's as simple as he explains. You go in your car, you drive around town, you look for ugly houses. So another question we get is like, how do I find the right areas to drive, right? Well, all you have to do is call up a rich landlord, say, hey, you say you're looking to buy more houses and you're okay with me wholesaling it. Where are you looking to buy? Oh, Westchester Heights or this zip code. Okay, well, go to that zip code, look for ugly houses, put a sticky note on it, says, hey, this is Zach, a quick question about the house. Slap it on. They'll call you like, hey, someone put a sticky note on my house. So yeah, this is Zach. Me and my partner are actually looking to buy a couple houses for cash. Who's your partner? Cash buyer at the rich landlord. We're looking to buy a couple houses for cash. Are you looking to sell it? Maybe. Yeah. And then you just talk. And then we have scripts of, you know, when people call you and things like that. So it's not that confusing and you get deals. I would say with the amount of people that we teach how to get rich in wholesaling, a lot of them get their first deal by doing this. I just got off of a podcast with somebody and the podcast is actually going to get released on Monday. So that's pretty exciting. He made over $30,000 in 60 days. Part-time wholesaling. All he did was drive for dollars. So it's pretty cool, right? He did an $18,000 deal, a $1,500 deal, which isn't a lot. And then he made another 10 grand all in 3 months, three deals in 60 days. So that's pretty cool, right? And we just did that podcast. And so like, I'm just telling you, like, it works for so many people. A lot of people get their first deal by doing this. And I think it's something you should look into, right? So go drive for dollars and put sticky notes on houses, right? Another way, if you're starting out and you actually want to get your first wholesaling deal, if you don't want to do it, right, or you can't do it, I would probably tell you right now, you should probably cold call the government lists. Now, what is that? I know this seems very confusing, but I can tell you straight up, if you want to go and get rich in wholesaling, cold calling is going to be one of the best ways to do it. And what is cold calling? What's government lists? Is this scary to say? Is this, oh my gosh, what's going on? What are we talking about? All you have to do is get a list of people, let's say, that have ugly houses, which is like a code violation list. So basically, just so you know this, it's in freelancing.com, I explain this. But their code enforcement basically makes sure that all properties are up to code. So the grass isn't too tall, there's no mold in the house, there's no issues, no structural damage. And they have a list of all the ugly houses that they're fining. And these people just want to get rid of their house that are on this list. You can basically get their phone number on a website like truepeoplesearch.com. Guess what? You just boop, 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 boop. You go and dial them and say, hey, this is Zach. Are you looking to sell your property? I'm looking to buy a couple houses for cash. Now, it's not the exact script. My exact script says, hey, is this the owner 123 Main Street? Are you interested in selling it? What did I tell you? 98% are going to say no. But the 2% that say yes, they're good deals. That's it. Hey, So a lot of people get really nervous with the word cold calling, right? I can call it seller outreach. I can call it reaching out to people, whatever you want to call it, right? Like we can make, you're having conversation over the phone. That is it. A lot of people get scared. Why do people get scared? They're on the phone. You're a poopy head. They're scared. Guys, either you have a fear of being broke or you have a fear of calling. Which one's greater? I'll tell you straight up, my fear of start, when I got into the whole thing, I was so fearful of being a broke person my entire life. I couldn't do it. I had no care in the world what people thought about me because I was making a change in my life. I had no fear to cold call. A lot of people get scared of cold call. It's because their fear of being broke isn't strong enough. Guys, I think we all have a fear of being broke. But you got to understand, there's being nervous and being broke. I'd rather be nervous than broke. Being broke is a constant weight on your shoulder 24 hours a day. As long as you're awake, you're always aware of that fact. It's not fun. Being nervous, you can get over being nervous by just doing it. When you're broke and you keep being broke, it doesn't help. Okay, being broke is just a perpetual state of sadness. And I'm trying to get everyone out of that situation. And so cold calling is a great way to do it. And then the more you talk to people over the phone, the better you are at actually talking to sellers. You actually sound really good and you do deals. And so government lists basically are lists you get from the government that have a lot of motivating factors. So some of my favorite are probates. So basically probates is a court action of basically when people pass away, they got to transfer the property over to the heir, the ownership. Now I know it's the definition's not the legal definition, but for a very simplistic definition state, sense, that's what it is. There are pre-foreclosures, which you shouldn't cold call. You should probably text them. But these are people that are behind on their mortgage. They're not paying their mortgage anymore. I know this sounds crazy, but you know you can look up any person that is not paying the mortgage? Crazy. There's a list of people that haven't paid their property taxes in 2 to 3 years, and they're about to lose their house. You can call these people up. It's, hey, are you looking to sell your house? Actually, yeah, I think I am because I have a property auction in the next 40 days. I got to get rid of the thing. And there's a lot of urgency to get rid of the house. These lists are every single county, every single city in the United States of America has these lists. That's the cool part. And so there's so many of these deals that can be done. And either you get the money or another wholesaler gets the money or a realtor gets paid for it. And I'd rather you get the money over a realtor. Just I know it's mean to say, but I'm just telling you that's what we want. So there's just so much money to be made right here. And so how do I sell my contracts for big paydays? I think I've said this again, but just keep it stupid simple. Here's my action plan. You drive for dollars, you put sticky notes in houses, and you cold call government lists. And then once you get these deals under contract, you have a freewholesaling.com, you have the contract, you go to Zillow, you cold call the four rents, and you find landlords, and you just see if they want to buy that property. Easy as that, right? And that's wholesaling real estate. So let's kind of break down your homework for today. You're watching this, right? You want to get started. You want to get rich. You want all these things, right? How do you get started on this journey, right? So this is going to be your homework for today. This is my homework for everyone to get started though, basically. You go to freewholesaling.com, the free wholesaling course. Just sign up there. That is it. You're going to also then join Wholesaling Houses for Real. It is my Facebook group. There are over 108,000 people in it. It's insane. 108,000 people in it. That's a lot of people in a Facebook group. And I have links on there to go talk to me one-on-one for free during my live streams. That's a great way to talk to me. You're going to see people at the end of this, after we're done the presentation here, they're going to be able to talk to me for free one-on-one. That's pretty cool. If you're part of that Facebook group, you'll be able to do it. Lastly, most importantly, you need to watch this content. You need to watch my stuff. Wholesaling real estate is an ever-changing industry. I've been in it for 7+ years. You've been in it for
21
years. Wholesaling real estate every year kind of changes a little, like what lists are working, what aren't. So you're going to have to subscribe to this YouTube channel you watch. So you're watching this on the Flip with Rick YouTube channel. You're going to need to subscribe to it. Make sure you put the bell notification on. When you put the bell notifications on, every time I go live, you are going to be able to get a notification on your phone to hop on and actually watch what we say. Easy as that, right? One thing you also have to know is, once you're watching a live stream, you can go in the comments and talk to other people live who are wholesaling houses and doing well. There's people in the comments right here that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, and they will teach you for free because they feel so indebted that I taught them for free that they want to teach other people for free. It's a cycle of getting people rich, right? And that's kind of the point here. So we actually have four YouTube channels. I know it's a lot, but the way it works is that's what it is. We have Flip with Rick, which is basically you and I. That's our YouTube channel together. It's their biggest one. We have a Zakin YouTube channel, which is my personal YouTube channel, where I talk more about wholesaling the way that I like it. We wholesale basically the same way, but my approach is slightly different than his approach. They're both Get Your Rich, right? I'm more kind of like cold call, going to the point. And you're kind of more working smarter, not harder. But like they'll both Get Your Rich. And I'm kind of like that too. But I have a Zakin YouTube channel where I go live on Sunday nights. So you definitely should go to Zakin on YouTube. On Monday evenings at 5 p.m. on the Rickin YouTube channel, you go live. And then we both, on our personal channels, we release videos also. And then on Wholesaling Houses For Real, that is basically a other YouTube channel we have where we just do clips of live streams and stuff like that. If you subscribe to all the channels, you get it all notified. You'll be getting bombarded with wholesaling content from somebody that's actually positive about this industry that wants to help you out for free and get you rich. So if you want to get started in wholesaling real estate, this is it. This is the only course you need. This is the only presentation I think you need. If you want to get your first deal, this is all you basically need. You just got to go to freewholesaling.com and that's it. I mean, you got anything to add on that?
Do they have to call a phone number and get interviewed? And
you just hop on. No, you just hop on there. It's free.
Shocking.
And so that's basically it. You just go to freewholesaling.com. So let me tell you our goal. So our goal here is first of all, I do this YouTube channel, first of all, to teach people how to wholesale. And also, a lot of you guys send me JV deals, and then I do a lot more money, right? I can make millions and millions and millions of dollars on this YouTube channel because you guys send me JV deals on top of the wholesaling I do in my local market and virtual wholesaling. So yeah, you sign up to, let me tell you the ulterior motives. No other person will tell you. You go to freewholesaling.com, you start learning how to wholesale, you start sending me wholesaling deals because you're making so much money and we all make money together. Now, once you do a JV deal with me, I let everyone join Flip the Rick Plus. So Flip the Rick Plus is our like premium part of this, where basically we do extra live streams. We do more one-on-ones. There's not 5,000 people watching. And so like I can actually personally DM people, do all stuff like that. And if you do a JV deal with me, you get into Flip the Rick Plus for free. If you don't want a JV with me, you can pay a small fee basically to help offset the cost of it. And that's pretty cool. And you're in a network with like-minded wholesalers. The point is I want everyone, if you haven't gotten your first deal, just go to freewholesaling.com. Now, if you want more attention, you want to personally message me on my phone, things like that. I can't personally message 10,000 people. That's why I have to do it like this. You can go inside of Flip the Rick Plus right now. So that's pretty cool. That's it. Make sure you guys hit that like button, subscribe. I'm telling you right now, go to freewholesaling.com. I think for most people, that's what you need to do. So what I want to do right now is to answer some questions you guys have. We're going to do some one-on-ones today from the Facebook group and help you be the best wholesaler possible. One extra thing we need to tell you too is we did a thing yesterday and we're going to extend it till the end of today. So by midnight tonight, I guess, 11:59 p.m. Every single person who signs up at flipwithrickplus.com today in the next, how many hours? 10 hours. By the end of this is only for live people. If you sign up, I will personally reach out to you, me or Rick, to do a 30-minute Zoom call. And we'll get you started inside of Flip the Rick Plus on a 30-minute Zoom call to get you started. But I'm only doing this for the next people for the next 10 hours. That is it.
That's
so
it.
You explain that.
Yeah, I mean, it's straightforward. It's, listen, I need more than a day, a month, really 3 months to really teach you wholesaling and make you like grow as a wholesaler. So as an incentive, what we're doing is just a little bit of a jump start where however you want to focus the 30 minutes, but I'll tell you where you need to focus it because that's typically why you're reaching out and help. We just give you a little jump start. So we've spent a lot of time with the people already in there and I'm not here to take away from them, but it's kind of an incentive. I don't do this often. I don't think we've ever done it before.
So the reason I'm doing it is because I want to teach you guys in the Zoom how to use Flip the Rick Plus, and then I also want to give you guys a game plan.
Yeah.
That is what the 30-minute Zoom is. I have some extra time next week, which is really weird. But I have like next weekend, I'm actually like completely got nothing going on. So I decided
dog days of summer.
Basically, before things get a little crazy, because we're having also inside of Flip the Rick Plus, you get a live event. Just go to Flip the Rick Plus that you watch what's included on it. 15 plus courses. We're putting another course out inside of it. But the reason is I got some free time, and so I'm doing a special. This is not going to be like every week I'm doing this. This is going to be very few times a year. Yeah. So I'm letting everybody know. I'm just giving you a forewarning before I end this by tonight. I might end it early. No, I'll do it by the end of the day. Hopefully not too many people sign up. I'm banking on the fact that like not a lot of people are going to sign up for this, FYI. Hopefully I do like two or three of these, right? But like 30-minute personal Zoom call with me, one-on-one for a full 30 minutes, or it'll be with Rick, whoever.
Yeah, it's just a way that you can connect with us personally. And then
so tonight, Flipthirk Plus, either do it or not. I know we got a bunch of people that signed up, so I got to schedule those out. I'll do it by this weekend, and then we'll set up a time for it. But I'm telling you guys, by the end of today, it's over. Like the thing, if you sign up at 1 a.m., I'm not going to like feel bad for you. I'm like, no, I said by this time. So Eastern Standard Time, so it'd be 9 p.m. West Coast time. Do it. I just want everybody to know you do the Zoom or not. I don't really care.
No, West Coast, it would be 3 hours behind.
Oh.
Be 3 a.m. then.
No, it's 9 p.m.
If it's based on Eastern Standard Time,
if it's midnight, whatever, Eastern, it's 9 p.m.
Listen, if you want in, just do it.
Just do it by the end of the day. Hop on, flip the end of your plus, day.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty cool. So just letting everybody know about that. Either do it or don't. But yeah.
Oh, I get it. So
let's get it. Let's talk about this. Let's talk. All right. Let's see what questions we got here. We got some good questions here. So shout out to Jason. He is reverse drying for dollars right now. So I love it. Love to see it. Shout out to him right there. Got a lot of people doing it, right? So that podcast I'm actually going to release is a pretty cool podcast. 30 grand in three, basically in three deals, 30 grand in 60 days. And when I do a podcast, FYI, for everyone knows this, I force everyone to send me the HUDs. I don't do checks anymore. You can fake a check now. I don't like them anymore. Send me the HUD straight from the title company. Usually they have to forward it from the title company. I call the title company to verify it. And then I'll put you on the podcast. Here's the problem. Everyone and their mom keeps asking to go on my podcast. Everyone. And so I had this, I'll call one prominent guru. I'm not calling him a guru, but he's a cool guy, I guess. I don't know. He asked to be on the podcast so he can promote his course. I said, okay. I said, I'm game for this. I banked this. I said, send me your HUDs for the last 30 days. And he said, that's private information. I'm like, just send me, you said you're making 200 grand a month. I said, just send me $100,000 of the last assignment fees you did. I can't give you that. You can take out the address. Just show me the zip code and just show me the title company. I can't, show me your title company. Let me call and verify it. I can't do that. You know why? Because he ain't making 200K a stinking month. Yeah. And so that's the truth. Okay. Hey, and then one guy's, oh, well, I flipped the house. Well, give me the address of the house you flipped. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, yeah.
I think we're the only guys that actually vet people because I'm not here to promote like someone else's course, especially if you don't actually do the business. You don't do what you say you're going to do. Why would I ever give you a platform? And honestly, if you're going to come on our show to promote your course, you're probably not very bright because you don't understand what our target audience is. We want people to actually get deals and get it done. They don't want the flip. They don't want the fluff. They don't want all the crap that goes with it. And that's the problem with it. That's why you don't see us pairing up with all these people online, because at the end of the day, we just want to get people results. How we get there, we can dispute that all day long. But the reality is 95% people fail with wholesaling courses. So we do it the opposite direction. And just want you to let you know, anybody we put on the show, we have checked them out. Like you cannot wiggle.
But most of these people are just regular wholesalers that aren't scared because they're doing it. So that's
they do it. Yeah.
Tony says scared money don't make money. I say it all the time because it's true. Being scared is not going to get you anywhere in life. It's not going to get you anywhere in wholesaling. You have to actually go out here and take life by the horns. I'm telling you, you got to do it and get going. So let's do some questions here. Let's see here. Here, I have cash buyers. What's up? Like it. A lot of people network in the comments. I like this. Yep. Let's see. I'm in a lot of Fort Worth people today. Jeez. All right. Zach, you got me 100 plus hours a week. Let's go. I like it. Hey, I like to see it. Got people 7 hours a day. That's fine. Guys, I've already told you, ever since I was 17, most of my thoughts in my entire life have been about wholesaling. I know that's weirdly obsessive, but that's what it takes to be one of the top wholesalers in the world. I don't even get into it, but like, I think about wholesaling all the time and it's leading me to a lot of great things. So, let's do some one-on-one. Let's, if you guys want to hop on one-on-one, remember you guys have to go to, Wholesaling Houses for Real, which is basically our, Facebook group. And all you have to do is go there and you can learn exactly how to do it the right way. So, let's go here. Wholesaling Houses for Real. And let's go here. So you hop on the Facebook group. This is it. Wholesaling Houses for Real. 108,000. We click here, the featured. I pin it on the top for every live stream. I click the StreamYard link and boom, once you stream our link, you'll be able to talk to us one-on-one absolutely for free. So first person we got is Aaron.
Zach, Rick, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up? How can I help you out?
Grinding, man, the usual. I just got a quick question, not too much today. I was wondering, is it possible that we could purchase a property through an equity fund? Like, because I've been doing some research and I've heard that, like, they're good with investors. Like, they basically have only investment properties. Is that correct?
You can. Yeah. So, I mean, as long as they're okay with an assignment and the entire process or double closings, whatever it is, sure.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, that's all that I needed because I was doing some more marketing and I came across a couple of, like, individually company-owned properties. And I didn't know, like, if it was worth the time reaching out to, like, an equity trust fund. Would that be the only one that you guys would reach out to? You wouldn't reach out to like any like more like company owned properties?
I will, yeah. If they're willing to buy contracts and I can make cash on it, of course I'm going to do it.
Yeah, you just got to be careful. A lot of them will yes you to death.
Yeah.
You just make sure you read the paperwork like they send over because you can sell an assignment of contract if it's yours, like you're 100% good, but a lot of them will like, hey, will you sign our paperwork? Will you do this? And that's the only problem where you get a problem because a lot of times when you look through their paperwork, they're just optioning you. So just make sure you're not an option. They have to commit. Otherwise you can't do it. And a lot of people will take it, just go, okay. Oh my God, I got the property sold. I'm like, you better read the paperwork because that is just a salesman working you. He's putting hundreds of properties under contract. So just be wary when they say, can we change the paperwork? Can we use our title company? There is a reason when people make those statements and it's usually to their advantage, not yours. So just the problem is just don't bend. Like if you bend too much, you're going to get stuck and you can actually lose the deal. So just understand that when you deal with these corporations, so to speak, especially equity companies, they're not all bad, but a lot of them want to send you an addendum with like three or four pieces of paperwork basically says we can close whenever we want. Like that's it. And a lot of times you got to sit around and wait. And that's the problem is if they don't work out and you have a contract with them, you can't sell it to somebody else. So just pay attention. If they change the title company or once you sign additional addendums or use their paperwork, it's usually okay. A huge red flag. So just keep it in mind.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate that information. I really do. I appreciate it so much. That's all I got, man. I appreciate you guys. And, that's all that I got today. I'll come back for some future advice.
All right.
Awesome, man.
Keep it up.
See ya.
All righty. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Later.
Ivy.
Yeah, hello.
How's it going?
Yeah, what's up, man?
So I live in New York, which I heard was a really bad wholesaling market. And I wanted to ask, so I've been, the past few days, I've been trying to get, like, lists, like, code violations mostly. Like, I've been calling virtual
markets. You're in
New York? New York City.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been, I called in a couple states, a couple virtual markets, and most of them didn't pick up. I got, like, one lady who picked up, but she couldn't really help me because she transferred me over to the superintendent of their station, whatever. And they're always like, leave a message. And I have a New York area code, like I got 631. So is it okay if like I leave a message, get a call back later and I leave them my area code? Like, let's say I'm calling like Texas. They wouldn't be like, why is this kid calling?
You can
get
another area code by just, you can go to Google Voice and change your area code.
How does that work? Because it's,
you go to googlevoice.com and then you get a phone number.
So you're calling from like from Google.
googlevoice.com.
It looks okay.
Like a phone number.
Okay, I'll look into it.
Of course, man.
Okay, I appreciate
any other questions?
Sorry,
Any other questions?
No, that's it for now. Thank you. All right.
Have a good one, man. All right. Chaz.
Yo.
Hi. So I can help you out.
I joined the wholesaling course like beginning of the summer, and I live in Delaware, and I'm going all the way out to Arizona for school next week. So I just finished it up, and I decided to like go with land wholesaling instead, just because of my like situation, and it's kind of difficult to having a runner and stuff virtually and getting my first deal. I thought land would be easier. What do you think about that?
I think it's a terrible idea.
Really?
Yeah. You don't have the experience doing land, and everyone thinks land's easier, but you got to remember there's a lot less buyers for land too. And so like, unless you're like really good at finding buyers for land, it's probably not going to be a good idea, dude.
Okay.
You can do it, man. But like, there's a lot of these people saying land is the best because they're selling you a land course. As somebody that makes a lot of money wholesaling land, they're far and few between. And so I look at what's the best chance of you making 10 grand a month. You can do it with land, but you have a better chance of doing off-market houses virtually. And so I'm guessing in your head, you feel like you can't do virtual wholesaling because you don't want to pay someone $50 to take pictures and show someone through a house, right?
Yeah. It seems like complicated.
So that's exactly. So it's complicated because you're not thinking it through. You can pay someone to do it, or you can find a partner and just split the deals with them.
Okay.
That might be the best one. So are you going to wholesale in Delaware? Like virtually, like where are you thinking?
Well, I was looking in Delaware, but then I saw on your channel for like best places to wholesale, you said it was weird with the laws in Delaware.
I think it's Illinois I was talking about. Delaware is a little weird too, but like it's not as weird.
So you can wholesale in Delaware?
Yeah.
All right. I have a couple of buddies that are like a year younger than me, and I was just going to have them reverse drive for dollars or bird dog.
Why don't you just have them do it? Have them take the pictures and walk through the houses.
And you think Delaware would be a good idea? Because
yeah, give them a percentage of the deal.
Yeah.
I'd probably give them half the deal if they drive for dollars and you call. Yeah.
Chaz, did you grow up in Delaware?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And my dad's a realtor.
Are we talking Dover or like
Wilmington?
Yeah, there's only two places anyone lives there. It's a joke. But I would say 50%. You should just give half the deal, but they're doing half the work. And then that's probably your best chance.
If I'm finding the buyer and doing the seller work, they should still get half.
Yes, because they're walking the seller through, they're doing the driving, and they're spending money, and you're not spending any money.
All right.
They're spending money on gas.
Listen, in the beginning, it's all about just getting your business up and running.
Yeah.
Like once you get good at it and say when you finish school, you want to hire someone to make an employee, and then you don't have to share the other half. But like just get the foundation up. When I first started wholesaling, I was clueless. I was really good working with the motivated sellers. I didn't know how to sell them. So I paired up with everybody. And then someone goes like, you're giving the house away. I'm like, I'm not, I'll go get the house down the road. Don't worry about it. So if you can focus on that front end, it's stop worrying about if you're splitting it because you're asking someone to work for free for you. And you know, that's a tough proposition up front.
Yeah.
And then when you get out of school or however you want to handle it, you can decide to make a business that if you want to bring them, if they're amazing, you bring them on as your business partner. If they're not that good, you just find somebody else to replace them, or you can do an employee. But Chaz, like think about what you said in the beginning. If so many people make this mistake in wholesaling, they're like, well, this sounds easier than wholesaling. Listen carefully to the words that you say to yourself. It's like I'm sure you can take some special pill and have an amazing body or like have a much better aptitude of growing muscles, but you know there is a downside to it. You are doing the exact same thing when you just do land alone. Land sounds sexy on paper, and don't get me wrong, but you really got to know values and you really got to be good with the cash buyers because they're far and few between on just buying them like that. So whenever you guys think there's a shortcut to wholesaling, it's going to kill you in the long run, because if you learn the skill of wholesaling, you could do anything you want under the real estate umbrella. Go out and find out anyone who's really good at real estate. And if they have a wholesaling background, they are very hard to compete with. And I want you to understand, if you do the work up front now and you figure it out, land's just a byproduct of wholesaling. So you do houses. Listen, the reality is you are focusing and finding out people's problems. The real estate's just a side effect. And once you understand people have problems, and they do in Delaware, you already know the market. You've got family there and friends that'll work with you. Don't worry about like if you're splitting it or not. Like, it's, trust me, there's going to be times where you're going to have them do most of the workload while you're busy at school. And you got to rely on someone. The only way I'd rely on someone, like, dude, you got to bring me in. If you start giving people 20%, you're going to get 20% effort. And yeah, that's the problem with it. So just get it up and running. Don't focus on how much you're paying, because if you had a deal and made 10 grand and you made 5 grand while you're at school, now you're figuring out how real business works. Okay. Yeah. You can't do all the work 100% yourself. That's why me and Zach love doing JV deals as well. So you got it. Just try not to take the shortcut to wholesaling, because it's going to be the longest road you take in your life. I promise you this.
All right. And in terms of a title company, like, do I just look up the best ones in college?
Yeah. Stuff like that. That'd be the best one.
And what are you looking for in those title companies?
They work with wholesalers, how many investors they work with.
Yeah, the questions are
not too big.
Yeah, yeah. Just go in there. I did an entire video on this, and it works well. You got to find out if they're going to work with you or they're going to run you under the bus. Yeah. And you got to know it up front. Because, man, when you find those really motivated sellers, when a title company screws it up, it's on you because you didn't vet them properly. So that's kind of the easy part. So go ahead and set that up.
Yeah. Oh, and Zach, I have a question. If you were making a lot of money in college, why'd you stay all 4 years?
I didn't stay all 4 years. I graduated in 16 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was in, I got my A degree at 18, and then
while he was in high school,
I took 15, 16 credits a semester. And then I came home after a semester and I was able to use Proctor U. You guys probably have a different one now. And I was able to take all my exams online and just wholesale houses full time. And it was a lot of work, but I 16 months, it wasn't that bad. And I got my degree. So yeah. Kidding me, man.
Yeah.
It was easy. I only did that because I got a full ride. Like, okay. I got a full ride scholarship, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll keep it." At that time it was like, okay, only like a year, and I was doing part, and I was like, "All right, fine." So no Netflix, no Instagram, no. That's why I didn't do any social media. Nothing. I work, and then at night I'll just do some school. But also, you got to remember, I had identical memories, so I can just read the whole textbook and then just do an exam and get a B. I'm like, "All right, that's fine." That's all I did.
It took me 6 years to get through college.
So FYI, so. I didn't stay all 4 years at all. 16 okay. months in and out.
What would you have? No.
16 months in and out. That was it.
Yeah. Would you have, if you had to do 4 years, would you have done that?
Yeah, it depends how much time you have. C's get degrees, dude. And so, I mean, I had a full ride. Knowing what I knew now, I'd probably not... UF is still pretty cheap. It's like 7 grand a year. Like, it was still really cheap. I probably would, but I would use it as – I'd do it on the side. And so I think a lot of wholesalers, they have three things. They have school, work, and fun. I got rid of the fun, and I just did school and work. A lot of people like to get rid of work, and they like to do fun in school. You have to choose which one you want to do. I would probably get rid of all the fun and do work in school. So that's just me. A lot of people think that they have to sacrifice school for it. And I don't think you should sacrifice school for it. If you quit the drinking, you stop the partying, you get off Netflix, you get off Instagram, you get off the social medias, and you just focus on those two things, you'll do well.
You're depressing Chaz, man. He's listen, here's the reality. You know, you ever have people tell you like, college were the greatest years of my life?
Yeah.
They did life wrong then, buddy.
Yeah,
that's what I'm just telling you, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't have fun, but you got to, like, college isn't what it used to be. It's not this vehicle.
But it wasn't fun, man. Like, I got rid of the fun and I only worked, dude. But here, everybody's like, oh, yeah, Zach. And then you can't hang out with the girls and party. I'm like, what do you think I do now? I got all the time in the world now. Boom.
Yeah.
So I sacrificed 16 months for the rest of my life. Most people choose four years and then they can't have fun for the rest of their life.
If people tell you their greatest days were in college, don't take advice from them. Because I went through college, dude. I was beyond broke, ramen noodles every day. tons of beer and just sleeping in every day. That is like, that's no way to go through life. So if you get the skill sets to make money, you can do whatever you want, even while you're young. Listen, I've told everybody wholesaling is a 2-year commitment. If you can give up 2 years of your life and dedicate it to it, I will jump you 30, 40 years ahead of wherever your parents ever started you out on this. It's just the truth.
But my opinion, I don't think you should drop out of school. I was making 100K plus a year and I still chose to do college. Unless you're making 100K, I would not drop out. And you can do it, man. You just got to, you know how to do your time correctly. You'll be fine. Most people have a job while in college. Yeah. You're calling your job. That's it, man. Where are you going?
Arizona, U of I.
Oh, so that's in Tucson. You can wholesale in Tucson too, but let's just focus on that first. Just do Delaware starting out, all right?
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
That's it, man. I'm telling you, I don't know if he wasn't looking for an excuse, but there shouldn't be. I'm not going to be the guy to tell you to go drop out. I'm not going to tell you the person to quit your job so your kids can't to risk your kids not having a roof over their head. I'm not that type of guy. Make some cash first.
I tell people, I go, if you're going to go to college, get in and out as fast as you can and do not write off doing it online because it's the same degree.
My degree is, technically I was never online. I was just able to take my exams online. My degree is the same thing.
I don't care.
No one cares.
No one goes, did you get that online or did you get it physically in person?
Well, I still did the graduation thing, but all right. Denzel. My goodness.
Oh, feedback there.
It'll work.
Hello?
Like a woodworking factory. Denzel, what's up?
What's up? What's up, guys? I watch you guys' stuff all the time. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
How can I help you out?
Oh, yeah. So I do wholesaling. I've been doing it for like 2 years, but every deal I get, as soon as it gets the title, like something always happens. Like it's like inevitable. Either it's on the seller side or the buyer side. How do I secure like a, because the seller ended up finding out his house is worth more and then ended up backing out of the deal. How do I like offer a good price on a home?
Denzel, I got to stop you here. This is my biggest pet peeve in real estate wholesaling when I talk to people, when they say this, the deal just fell apart. Deals just don't fall apart. Okay. Right. There's a reasoning behind it. So when you say that every deal just like randomly, like, can you, do you have a TV behind you?
I do. I'm in my room now.
Can you turn the TV off?
Yeah.
Right. Cool. All right. First and foremost, deals just don't fall apart. There's specific reasons and there's always ways to avoid it. So when you have all these deals that fall, it's not magically because the world's against you and you're terrible. And there's reasons to go around it, right? I've just had so many deals fall apart where I got frankly sick of it and I figured out how to not do it anymore. So let's use this one excuse. The seller knows their house is worth more. Of course, this is stupid. Of course, the seller knows they're selling the house for a discount. Now, the question is, what do you do, right? Does the seller want a higher price? Then you can give them a higher price. But what's the reason for wanting the higher price? So let's use that example for... Let's talk about that for. So, what's the situation with that deal?
So, the situation with this deal specifically was the seller. I guess he wasn't clear with the bank. I guess he owed money to the bank, and then the title company before it closes, the title company was looking for a payoff statement or whatever like that, that he didn't owe any money on the house, and he's having trouble finding that. And I don't know if he actually owned the house or not because that had to happen to me as well. So they're kind of just waiting on a payoff and he can't seem to find it. So I don't think the house is paid off. So like,
how's that issue though?
Cause I don't know if it's going to close or not because
the title company can figure that out. They're going to need a payoff.
Yeah. They said they're going to take like 10 to 15 days to find that out.
Okay. Well, let them do it. All they have to do is go to public record and see if the guy or the property in question when the legal description has any liens or mortgages on the property. You could probably figure it out in a day.
Yeah.
And if you're smart enough.
By the way,
and how does the guy not know if he has a mortgage or not? He gets a thing in the
either
mail.
Either you did or you didn't. And it's in public record. So
seller's like, okay, you know what? I know I owe $100,000 on my house.
Yeah.
Here, but I'm going to pretend like it's not there.
Yeah.
And you know what? The title company is so stupid. They're never going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm getting an extra $100,000 at it. It doesn't work like that. Title companies, they don't lose money. And so they're smart. The guy's being fishy though. Some people legit don't know, but they can get a statement in the mail or look it up. You'll get a payout. You'll know the payout in 10 to 14 days.
And you can look this all up on public record.
Let's say let's say it's they owe 40 grand. How is that going to change your deal at all?
Well, I think because, I mean, I don't know if the price is going to change. Because my buyer, we're already locked in on a price. It's a rundown house. So,
how is the mortgage going to affect it?
But that was my thing. Like, I'm not sure because I've never ran across this problem before. You know, title's like, well, if we can't find it, then we don't have proof that he actually owns the home because the bank might own the house because he might owe the money to the bank.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have do you have the property appraiser data on the house?
I do. Yeah.
We're playing weird games here. Is his name on it?
His name is on it. Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, he has to show a driver's license, have a notary. So you have a stupid title company.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're the actual owner. It's black and white. That's the whole point of ownership in the United States. It is black and white. There driver's is license, no gray area.
His name, it's on the deed. So unless the bank doesn't own it.
Unless there's an open foreclosure case and it's at like final sale point, mm-hmm. I can maybe see a title company do it, but like black and white. Dude, you have a really bad title company if you're getting this type of information. It's black and white. There is no ifs, ands.
Okay. And then I think I had like one more. That helps a lot, actually, because I mean,
you're
the title
this, man.
Yeah.
Like, either you own the house or you don't. And there's deeds and there's mortgages and all these things. You have a bad title company, man. And I can get a payoff really easy, man. Like, they're really, because you call the bank and say, hey, we need a payoff for that. And they just give it.
15 days is insane, dude.
15 days is insane.
Yeah. Like, and they're even saying that the bank that he funded the house through is going to take 15 days to send off the payoff. I don't know what bank it is. I didn't ask. They were talking about the bank. I guess he had the wrong one or whatever.
Just do a simple call. Hey, do you know what bank that you have that on the mortgage? He said, yeah, it's, let's say he calls it, you know, Seacoast.
Mm-hmm.
Your seller can call Seacoast and get a payoff in like a day, or they can send it out. It's really easy, man.
Your title company should be helping you, not hindering you. And it just sounds like they're kind of fighting with you. And like a lot of this stuff you're bringing up, it's like black and white. This isn't even really the core of wholesaling. Like, listen, you're going to find deals and they don't all work out. But if deals are constantly falling apart 100% of the time, there's something wrong, either in the education you're taking or the forms you're filling out. And you want to like identify it and fix it as soon as possible. Deals just don't fall apart randomly. Like there's reasons people get out of deals, but for the most part, every now and then a deal will fall apart. But like if they're all falling apart, sometimes you just got to start over and go, man, what am I like doing? Am I not finding the right people? Am I not getting the right list? Like it's almost too much for me to like tackle in this, you know, few minutes we have together, but
yeah.
I would start with your title company. If they just keep blowing you off 15 days, this, and I don't know who owns it.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you in 2 minutes, I could tell you exactly who owned that property. And I'm not a title company.
Right.
So if you haven't done a successful, have you done a successful deal with this title company?
I have not. This is my first time working with this particular
Have they ever done a wholesaling transaction?
So you know what they have, but they recently, literally the day that we were supposed to close, they announced that they're no longer doing wholesale deals.
Get rid of this company as fast as possible.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, dental, this is an easy one.
Why are we even debating this?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. They don't want to help you out. They're scared of what you're doing and they think you're going to get them in trouble.
Yeah. And it's virtual as well. Like it's in Akron, Ohio. So,
nicely to go away.
Get rid of that.
Okay. Okay. We'll do.
Fix that and then just go through the basics at freewholesaling.com and just fix the fundamentals of what you're doing. Don't let this stop you from wholesaling. It's you're learning stuff. And by the way, when I write if I buy someone's house for $200,000, all sellers know if there's a lien on the property and they haven't discussed in advance, we're like, Rick, I'll sign this deal if you pay my $500 water bill. But if they have a $150,000 mortgage, they know that they're not going to net more than $50,000 out of the deal. It's just, I can't make it go away. Signed it. That's an agreement you have with the bank. I have nothing to do with it. Now, sometimes if the mortgage is more than what you're offering, I get it. And that would be a reason you'd probably have to end the deal. But by the way, probably 75% of the people you deal with are going to have some sort of liens on the property. It is completely normal. And you don't even have to over explain it to them. They know it. That's why they come up with the offer price. So if they want $150,000 for the house, they assume they owe less than $150,000. Otherwise, they would never enter into the agreement. It's kind of common sense, just to let you know.
Got it. Okay. Thank you guys a lot. Now, I think I have one more question. It's not as difficult as the last one.
Yeah.
As far as like offering on a house, like especially like rundown homes, because I particularly find a lot of like really, really distressed houses. Like, how do I make an offer on that? Like, what's a good strategy to kind of make an offer on that? Because the houses are really messed up. So it's not like an appraisal is going to help.
So this is a great one. This is an easy one. So I have a perfect formula of exactly how much to offer. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go for no. That's it.
Okay.
So think of a lower price, calculate it, use our formula, and then take 25% below that or 30% below that. That's an LAO. We're talking about LAO, least allowable offer, and then just pitch it out.
Okay.
Remember, you're looking to get the counter, Denzel.
Right.
And the technique I use saves you a lot of time, energy, and so you don't sit there and be a realtor trying to comp stuff for an hour. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, most sellers have a number in their head that they don't want to go below.
Yeah,
your job is to find it without actually asking for it. And so the best way to do it is if your house is worth 200 and I offer you 100 and they go, I could never do 100. Me and my wife said we couldn't go below 140. You might've been thinking it was 170. I just saved you 30K. So
right. It's
a technique we use. Some people call it brutal, but honestly is the fastest way to get a deal for someone that's motivated to sell their house, because you want to go on like a 3-week negotiation. You want to get it done in the next 15, 20 minutes. The going for no cuts out all that and you don't have to waste time. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to get a deal, but if you can get that subconscious reaction from a seller that's motivated, you're much faster to getting a deal. You don't have to play realtor and you don't have to be a psychic and try to figure out. Most of you trying to figure out what's in your seller's head, you're never going to guess it. So you might as well have them give it to you. How do you do that? Use the go for no technique and they'll give you the counter response.
That's it. Got it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, Rick and Zach.
Okay, man.
Keep it up.
Got it.
All right. Let's go here. Next here we got David. Yo, David.
David, you there?
Darius.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
There we go. What's up, man? How can I help you out?
What's going on?
Yeah, so it's good to see you guys again. I have like three questions. The first one is I got two appointments, which is not a lot, but they both rescheduled. The first one that rescheduled was an incoming call from Driver for Dollars, and they didn't give me a rescheduled time or date, so it kind of felt like a blow off. The second one was a Driver for Dollars as well, but I actually talked to them at the door for about 30, 40 minutes and built a great rapport for the woman and her husband. I got a appointment for 2 days after. 2 days after they rescheduled, and then for 2 days after that. And then I called the day before, spoke to the woman, was just like, hey, you know, just made sure she was ready for the appointment the next day. Then the next day, maybe an hour before, she said, her husband said the house is too dirty. They wanted to reschedule. And then I tried to reassure her that I don't care how dirty their house is. So I assume that this is common, but I also just wanted to ask if there is a technique to help me make, you know, just to make it easier for people to keep their schedule. I don't know if there's a technique y'all have.
Oh, yeah. That's really easy. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
You show up at the house during the time you both agreed at. And then we get this all the time, right? The seller will call us.
They call you on your way.
On your way there.
On your way.
I ignore the call. I just go answer at the house.
Because
so see, I almost did that. I almost ignored her text and just showed up.
I didn't see the text. Sorry. I'm here though.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay.
So if you don't know, then it's actually a very logical excuse. Number two, you got to understand what's truly going on here. Do you know what they're telling you? They're telling you two things. Number one, I'm not sure I can quite trust Darius because I don't know who he is, which is
right.
A common thing. And number two, I'm very concerned you're going to judge me.
Yes. The second house for sure. The first one, I know they didn't trust me because it was just a phone call.
No, I know. So you have to find a way to cater your response to overcome. Listen, guys, if you know what your sellers are objecting to, and then the first time you overcome it, it's awkward and you try to like figure it out. But the second, third, and by the time you get to the 100th and the 1,000th time, you got it so licked, you don't even delay the response. So I always say, listen, I get it. I got kids running around my house. 9 times out of 10, it's a train wreck. I'm not there to judge you. I'm there to help you solve your problem. If you clean or not, it's really not going to make a difference. And honestly, I don't care. I'm not here to judge you. And that's simply how I say it to people. And when they go like, because they're used to realtors coming in and go, oh my God, what happened to the walls? And they're telling you the house is rough.
Yeah.
Go, I'm not here for that. And I go, listen, I got my own issues with my own place. I don't want to judge you. All I want to do is look at the bones of the house. I'll be in and out. Honestly, if you clean or not, it's not going to make a difference. I'm here for you. And that's it. And that's how, honestly, if you just give them the truth like that and you don't like judge them, listen, I've walked in the house and been eaten alive by fleas. I literally thought I was going to die, but I knew I was going to make a lot of money. But that's what you're potentially walking into. But the best part is when they go, I cleaned the house up, and you walk in, you're like, oh my God, I can't even imagine what happened before. But remember, they want their dignity and they want their pride. And if you,
right,
they're trying to tell you over the phone, like, you're not going to like what you see, and go, listen. So I don't say, listen, I look at dirty houses all day. I go, listen, I get it. Life happens. I'm here to help you solve the problem. If you clean or not, it's not going to make a difference. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just want to look at the bones of the house and see what I can do for you. And that's, if you can just kind of walk them off that ledge, usually they're pretty happy with that answer. And then from the time you get in your car, if you're walking out of your house and you get a call from them, go, don't answer it. Because they're
So
they're nervous.
That was my mistake.
Like, think about it. It's like a date. They're like, oh my God, do I go through this date? It's kind of like a blind date. And the best thing you do is just, if you're the blind, just show up. Like, especially if you need that date bad, just show up. Don't give them an excuse to cancel it. But like, if they do it a couple of days before, that's a little bit tougher to do. So,
right. So what do I, is there a way I can salvage it now? Cause the last lady, I really wanted to get into their house, cause I knew somewhere in my heart that I was going to get that deal. But she said she'll kind of let me know, even though I led her to like, okay, so when can I hit you back up or whatever? She just said, well, I'll let you know. Do I just kind of let that go, so or how do I?
You got to have an excuse to call her back without saying, hey, I'm calling back. Are you ready for me to look at your house? So offer her something of value. It's not about money or anything like that. Go, hey, listen, I got some information on houses in your market. I think it might help you. Sometimes you can use the, like, I might be able to offer more than you're even thinking. Just give me a shot. Let me take a look at it. Something that they go, okay, there's a reason why I need to let this guy in. And here's one of the other classic lines. You say, listen, I'll come out and look. I go, regardless if you want me to buy your house or not, I will help you get the house sold. I promise you. And that's it. Okay. You're always like, if you really have a helping, nurturing, like, type of personality, you just help people out. Some people need a realtor. Like I tell them at the end of the day, we just need to get your realtor. Let me bring this person in for you. So just let them know I'm here to help you. I'm not going to judge you. And honestly, if I'm the buyer or not, you make that decision. But I promise you this, I will help you get your house sold. I just need to take a quick look and just hear you out. And I'm much better. I mean, you know, face-to-face, guys, if you can get belly-to-belly with a motivated seller, it goes usually much better, because 70% of all communication is nonverbal. You guys know it. If with the ladies, with the eye rolls, like the stuff like that, when the guys look up, they look down, you can get a lot of information from people. It's much easier in person, especially if you're starting out.
Yeah.
So just have a reason to call her back. Don't call back, hey, I just want to get back in your, I want to get in your house. Go, hey, listen, I got an idea, or hey, I might be able to get you more money. And then meet up with them to give them the secret. Don't give it to them over the phone, so to speak.
Got you.
Maybe even like a freebie little gift or something, you know, insignificant.
But yeah.
It's a hot day. I got like one of those squirt bottle fans. I don't know.
All right.
You gotta find a way to make them chuckle and laugh and go, okay. Like, but it's normal, man. Like, people cancel all the time because they're nervous about it. And once you set that date, honestly, within 24 hours, I'd still ignore the call. Like, you have to, because they're only calling you to stop you 9 times out of 10.
Got you. Okay. Cause when they sent me a text and I was walking out the house and I probably should just show up. And then I was like,
she goes, did you get my text? And you got to go like this, like, what? I'm not a big phone guy. Like, hey, we're here. And that's like, you'd be amazed the amount of deals me and him have gotten just by using that technique alone. And it's like, I told Zach, when he used to do acquisition, I go, don't answer the phone. He goes, she's calling me. I go, don't answer it. Just show up there. He's like, you were so right. I'm like, it just, listen, people, they get, you know, they get concerns, and it's just easier for them to back out than to go forward. So they might as well hear you out. And honestly, you do them a favor and you do yourself a favor by fulfilling those appointments. So
yeah, they need the favor for sure. But okay. So my second question is, I got a gentleman that called me. The Craigslist video you made was great, by the way. I got a gentleman that called me, and he's in a very tight situation. I thought I could wholesale the deal at first, and then maybe I said subject to, and I was talking to a buyer about it. He bought the house this year for $231,000, which was $30,000 less than it was worth, was bought for last year, or how much it was selling for last year. Mm-hmm. He had $219,000 left on the mortgage. He was going to move into the house. He started repairing it. He put $10,000 into the house and stopped mid-repair because he got in over his head. So he still has a $219,000 mortgage. The house is not a very curb appealed house. It's just really blocky, not a bunch of windows. So I'm not sure he's just like, I just need to let this property go. And so I'm not sure what to do with it. I was talking to a buyer about it. He was considering subject to. I sent him the PITI. He went and looked at the house, and he was just like, man, this house doesn't have good curb appeal. You know, with the numbers, he's not sure if it's good for an investor. He was talking about a wraparound deal. I don't know what that is. So, I mean, the seller has the same name as me. I would like to help him. I would like to get something out of the deal, but I would also like to help him out. He actually lives in Florida now, and he's just desperate to get out of this house. But other than subject to which the buyer that was interested in subject to seems like he's not as interested anymore. I even told him that.
How much work does it really need, like money-wise?
Well, the buyer went by, and he said he thinks – I thought it was $20,000. He said he thinks it needs more than
$20,000. Yeah. Listen, we can't fix everyone's problem. It's kind of cool that you can do a subject to deal, but it doesn't mean you're going to make money on it. And this is the misconception all over the internet. You got to do creative financing. Listen, if you can't make money from day one, I don't know where you're going to go with it, because – the house has a fundamental problem. It's butt ugly. And the problem is, to get the retail number you need, it's got to have some sort of curb appeal. And curb appeal is very expensive to try to make a house doing it. So the only thing you can do is simplify this. He's open to a subject to find out what his PITI payment is and find out what the rent markets are. And if you don't have a healthy difference, I don't know. There's some idiot out there that'll buy this deal, but like, I don't know how you make it work. Like, it's just sometimes properties just don't work. And there's probably a reason he got a discount on that property that he thought he got a great deal on it, because it needed all that work. I trust your judgment when you say it doesn't have curb appeal. So you got to keep that in mind. If you would do a subject to and try to do like a rent for own, a wraparound, which is just a fancy way to resell a subject to, there has to be desire for an end user. If a regular family goes, that house is butt ugly, I ain't paying for it, then you're kind of stuck. So all you can do is look at the cash flow numbers and make a decision if it's worth your time.
Okay.
Well, now, I'll be honest with you. I've had people sell houses like this and bring a $30,000, $40,000 check to the closing table to get rid of it. When you got an ugly house, sometimes extreme stuff has to be to reset where the numbers need to be. So look at the cash flow on it, the PITI and the rent values and what the repairs on it. And the only way you can do is try to sell it to an investor, and basically you be the hard money for them, but you'd have to find someone that's willing to bid it way up. And if they all say it's ugly, you're going to have a problem with it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I thought it was ugly, and then the buyer just drove by it. It's really blocky, and it has no windows in the front.
I've seen houses like that. They look like a military base. There's only
The
only way to make those houses work is just pure cash flow on a rental. Like, give someone a safe place to live, and you're never going to get the real appreciation or anything for the house. You just got to decide if you want to manage that headache or not.
There's always money to be made on those deals. The question is, how do you make it? On the creative finance, the reason why subject to works so well is when you don't put money into it. Like, you can just give the guy a portion on top of the mortgage, and then you can start making it rent ready. The problem is you got to drop 20 into it. I mean, what's the property worth to a cash buyer if you wholesaled it?
Like 185.
Okay. And
I'm sorry. Like 180. It's a little like 180.
Now. So what's the
if we wholesaled it right now, 260.
Okay. And what's owed on the mortgage?
$219,000. He took a mortgage out of $231,000.
Yeah. He's really underwater.
Wow. Yeah, he put $10,000 into it.
Yeah.
It's bad money spent on it.
It's bad. And he said he was an investor before, you know, he did something similar in Florida, but I was like, because I was excited at first when he was talking about it. He was like, it's a really good house. And then I went to look at it and I took a look inside and I was like, man, you know, the toilet's out and the walls and
listen, the only way you can make that work is find out what the PITI is, find an investor willing to pay you a couple hundred dollars above that. And then basically you pocket $5,000 or $10,000 up front and then they got to take over the payments. But it's going to be hard, dude. If it's ugly, it's ugly. Like,
yeah.
I've seen houses like this. The problem is we all try to calculate an ARV. ARV does not work on permanent ugly houses that have bad aesthetics.
Yeah.
So
right. You
can't fix that part. So you got to make a decision if it's worth it. This is where a lot of people in this world, like, I got to create a financing deal. I'm like, yeah, but you're going to be upside down $30,000-$40,000. My problem is if it's ugly on top of it and it's structurally ugly, you're never going to fix it. It's going to cost you $100,000 to fix that. And to me,
so if you was this guy, what would you do? Just curious.
I said, all you can do is look at the cash flow on it.
I would probably, yeah. Honestly, what he has to do, I know he's tired, but he should put the $20,000 and put on the market and take his loss. Now, people are going to be angry over that, but he could probably break even if he put the $20,000-$30,000 into it and then sold it on the MLS. Because you said if he puts 20 into it, it'll sell for 260. He's in it for whatever amount, 220. Yeah. He puts 240. He'll probably almost break even. That's the best thing you can possibly do, probably.
But here's the challenge. Either he doesn't have the money to finish the rehab, which I don't think is the complete truth because he's gotten this far, or the repairs needed are far exceeding what he ever thought it was going to be, and it's a no-win situation for him. And either one of them is bad, dude. And that's the problem with it. I think he found a bigger problem with the house, and he's like, I don't want to spend any more money. It's a money pit.
He's not telling you about it.
And that's usually what, because if you already spent $10,000, what's another $10,000 or $20,000, right? It's not a big deal.
Right. Because when he first came to me, he was like, oh, you know, I want $280 for it. The property's worth $300. And I started looking at the comps. I was like, this property is not worth $300. And I don't know why you would think you would get $280 for it if you bought it for $231. And it dropped $30,000 since last year. I was like, there's no way. So I was trying to help him out. We had the same name. I thought it was cool, but
I'd sell it for $225,000, $230,000, and the investor has to put down $5,000 or $10,000, and then they got to pay the PITI a month, have them take it over. That's, you need to get in and out of a deal like that. But the advantage is you can get an investor in there and he doesn't have to go and get hard money. And you can make your arbitrage play on that. But I don't know, man, when the houses are that butt ugly, it's really expensive because you got to change like roof lines and like, it's expensive, man.
It's like the whole house is one big, it's like a big block. I mean, I can't even explain it. When I saw a picture of it, I was like, is this the back of the, I thought it was the back of the house and it was the front of the house. And it's just
he just overpaid on it.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do. So he can either keep dealing with it or bring money to the table. Or if you can find someone that's eager to get into that type of deal, but like, there's a little bit of ethics here. Like, I don't want to sell a problem to somebody else either. And like, I don't want my name on it. Like, it's ugly, man.
Everyone thinks when they get a mortgage that appraisal's right. This is proof that the appraisal is wrong.
Yeah.
Overshot the appraisal.
So let that be a hint. If you have ARV and you have an ugly aesthetic house, meaning it looks like a bunker, ARV, you shouldn't even use in the equation because no one's ever going to recognize it.
Understood. Okay, and my last question is, so this gentleman that I met, I probably won't work with him because he's a little unruly, and I don't know if his intelligence is funny. But I'm just asking this question just in case it comes up because I do plan on doing this full-time going into the future and not stopping. He burnt his house down, so it was a clear piece of land. He supposedly did it by accident but went to jail for 2 years. The 2 years he was in jail, he racked up a $39,000 bill with the bank because of cleaning fees, inspection fees, and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
They charged him, which looks like a bunch of erroneous fees, while he was in jail. When he got out of jail, the insurance company paid off the bank $155,000. His original loan was $119,000 or $129,000 or something like that, but he only had about $57,000 left on the loan. So the insurance paid $155,000. They supposedly paid off the loan, the mortgage. but the bank is still charging him $39,000 for these fees. So I might have just got him on the contract, but we started talking about other stuff. He got confused and got scared, which is a lesson for me.
Yeah.
But that $39,000 didn't show up anywhere that I saw, but I was concerned that I was going to take it too, because the property I was going to buy for $16,000 and try to sell it for $25,000-$30,000, because it was in a nice community. The land was totally cleared out, and he was willing to give it for $16,000, but I didn't know if that $39,000 would pop up, even though I didn't see it. So I just...
Yeah, you're overthinking this, Darius. Just put it under contract, give it to your title company, and let them tell you what's owed on it.
Paid for.
And you just move on. If it's on there, it is what it is. Okay. If he's saying there's $39,000 for the cleanup, banks usually don't forget about that, and they usually put a lien on the property. So honestly, you can put it under contract, throw it to your title company, and just see how it works out. That's how we do it, because if you try to do it in reverse order, like every now and then you're going to get caught and the lien's not there and you had a great deal and you overthought it and you didn't get it. So simple, writing a contract, giving it your title company. If it doesn't work out, it is what it is.
Okay. Well, I know that for the next time, because he...
Yeah, it's just like, remember,
him had words.
You have to be out hunting for motivated sellers, which you are, and I'm happy for that. But don't get into all the like ridiculous underwriting. It's like you guys are trying to get into people's heads. You got to just get the facts. So once you have it under contract, it's either a yes or no with the title company.
Okay.
That's it. Either they have a lien that's recorded or they don't. Maybe that $39,000 got wrapped up in the whole mortgage payoff. I have no idea.
So, okay. That's it. That's all my questions.
Keep going.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll do.
Perfect. All right, guys. So that's how you get into wholesaling real estate. You want to get into wholesaling? Just go to freewholesaling.com. If you want to Zoom with us, just go to flipwithrickplus.com. And yeah, that's it. So guys, see you soon. Make sure you smash the like button, subscribe. This is Zach and signing out.
Rickin signing out.
Have a blessed one.
See you guys.
Boom. Oh.